Three.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this Sunday morning. We read these words in Scripture. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Let's pray. Gracious God, you are the truth that we seek, the light in our darkness, the love that transforms us. In this time of worship, draw us close to your Father heart, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us seek the forgiveness for the sin by which we've denied God's claim upon us, as we say together, have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love. In the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offences. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again, and strengthen me with a willing spirit. Amen. Scripture tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. Now, at this point, if you want to pause the recording and go to the link that Mike set up, our first song is I Know He Rescued My Soul, My Redeemer Lives. Well, having sung that together, we now turn to our reading from Scripture, which is taken from Acts chapter 4 and verses 1 to 12. And Mike is now going to bring our reading to us. Thank you, Mike.
There we read. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests and the commander of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, angry because they were teaching the people and announcing in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had listened to the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers, elders, and experts in the law came together in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others who were members of the high priest's family. After making Peter and John stand in their midst, they began to inquire, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, replied, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today for a good deed done to a sick man, by what means this man was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healthy. If we are being examined today for a good deed done to a sick man, by what means this man was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you and the builders, that has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mike. Well, we come now to our reflection for today, and we're thinking about that passage, and what really is going on here? This week I read an article in a magazine, and it was how to prepare for the end of the world. I hope you're prepared for the end of the world. And it's all about the preppers. What's a prepper, you ask? Well, it's someone who is preparing for the end of the world, someone who's built a bunker and has stocked it with food and water and all kinds of things that they're going to need when the end of the world comes. A fascinating article about a guy who studied them and then became one of them. Very interesting. But these preppers are saying that governments have been reckless because they've not prepared for the end of the world. They've not prepared their nations and the world as a whole for the end. And they're saying at the moment, we told you so, COVID-19 shows us that we were right and you were wrong all along. I suppose these are the ultimate conspiracy theorists. They've taken this theory and prepared for what they see is coming, the end of the world. And for some, they see as now come, and they've already gone to their bunker. A number of them have already emailed saying, we're off to our bunker, bye. That's it. Well, I've never had much time for conspiracy theories or for doom mongers, I have to admit. But I do wonder whether there's something in their thinking, in today's reading, that can help us as we continue in lockdown. I suppose looking at the world differently, even getting ready for the end of the world, in one sense, is what's happening here. Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection is the belief that says the living God is going to put everything right once and for all. If you think back to last week's reading in Acts chapter 3, it says that God is going to restore all things as spoken by the prophets. And in Jesus, that restoration has begun. The resurrection is the starting pistol for that restoration that is spoken about in the Old Testament and is fulfilled here in the New. And many Jews believed that God would give some advance sign of this putting everything right. Some advanced sign of his final judgment. And that is exactly what the resurrection was and is. An advanced sign of what God is doing, restoring all things. Now you'd think that the religious authorities would be delighted that God was alive and working. And they would be delighted that God had provided a Messiah to rescue them. But then you have to understand something about those religious leaders to understand why they were not delighted. So here in Acts 4, following the healing of the crippled beggar, here we have a conflict between the religious authorities and Peter and John. And understanding who the religious authorities are will help us understand why there is this conflict, why they weren't delighted in the resurrection. You see, among the leaders of the people were the Sadducees. This group were a group of Jewish aristocrats. They included the high priest and his family. They were at the top of the pile. They didn't believe in resurrection. As I was taught many years ago, they are Sadducees because they are sad, you see, because they don't believe in resurrection. Now, the Sadducees, the chief priest and his family, they held great power in Jerusalem and over society as a whole. They guarded the most holy place, the temple, the place which for 1,000 years was the meeting place between God and his people. The Sadducees oversaw the sacrificial system through which people were restored to God. So they had great religious, economic, political, and even military power. They were in charge of the temple guard. They were in charge, in fact, at every level of society. Now imagine putting yourself in their shoes. You have everything to lose and nothing to gain from this message of resurrection in Jesus. They were the ones who could lose power. They were the ones, after all, who had rejected the Messiah and condemned him to death. And with the apostles' message of the resurrection, they stood to lose everything, their power, their status, their influence over the people. And so they saw the apostles' message as a threat to the institution, the temple, a threat to God's law even, a threat to the sacrificial system, and ultimately a threat to their way of life. This message of resurrection threatened everything they stood for or thought they stood for. Now we think that COVID-19 is a threat to our way of life, and in many ways it is. It has hemmed us in, constricted our lives. For some, they have to self-isolate and can't go out. For others, you know, at limited points. For some, it shattered their worldview of a place that's relatively safe. Well, the preaching of Peter and John shattered the way that people saw the world, and particularly the Sadducees. They didn't believe in resurrection, but here are witnesses of the very thing they refused to believe, Peter and John. No wonder they stuck them in jail. The Sadducee world was in danger of falling apart as thousands of people heard the message from Peter and John and turn to Jesus the Messiah, risen from the dead. Now, if you were an apostle rather than a Sadducee, if you were an apostle who'd witnessed the resurrection, you wouldn't be so worried about being jailed or even killed for your faith, because you know that God raises the dead anyway. You haven't got anything to lose. So you can see the conflict here. The Sadducees was with everything to lose, and the apostles with nothing to lose. So Peter preaching about the resurrection of the dead was revolutionary. And that revolution was in Jesus' name. And what Peter was saying, that not only is Jesus raised from the dead, but this is the starting pistol, the sounding gun, the start of God's eventual restoration of everything. So Peter and John are questioned in front of the high priest and his family. And they say, by what power or what name did you do this? This in question being the healing of the beggar at the Gate Beautiful. The religious leaders now got more than they bargained for. Peter, answering in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, talked about the kindness shown to a crippled man, that he was healed by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. In other words, the name of Jesus is not only the name through whom people are being healed. In Jesus, God is establishing his new way, his new temple. That's what resurrection is all about. Remember at Jesus' trial in Matthew's gospel, we read at the trial, they say, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Destroy the temple they did. But now it's been rebuilt in Jesus, who is the cornerstone for the building of God's restoration of everything. And the psalm which Peter quotes here, Psalm 118, is a psalm about the temple, about salvation, about God's new day. It's about God's mighty power, which gives life. It's a psalm which celebrates God's victory over the powers of the world. What better psalm to quote at that point? Now, to those who are finding an apocalypse bunker, as they've called it, a form of safety, I say this. I admire your determination to prepare for the end by building your bunker and storing food. But you're preparing in the wrong way. You see, history will not come to an end by the hand of humanity, but by the hand of God. Not by a virus that destroys lives, but by the Lord of history who saves lives. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This text alone challenges the worldview of the conspiracy theorists and these preppers. It challenges the worldview of those in authority. It challenges us all. Peter and John, our Easter witnesses, knew the truth that in Jesus, God was bringing about the restoration of all things. The restoration of our lives too. Because we too, in Jesus, will be raised. And that resurrection life has already started once we put our faith in him, who's gone through death and resurrection for us. So, as we continue in the lockdown, I want you to know that in Christ we are safe in God's hands. Whether you can find flour or toilet rolls, we are safe in God's hands. He sees our needs. He understands them. And he is there for us. So put away your concrete bunker mix. Put away your tinned sardines. And put your faith in Christ, who is restoring all things. That doesn't mean we are immune to the problems the world faces. We are part of those problems. But we can face those problems, knowing that we are resurrection people. Let's pray. Loving God, Lord of life and conqueror of death, in these troubled times we cry out to you for our nation, our world. Give us compassion for those who are struggling at this time, the self-isolating, the sick, the vulnerable, the weary, the fearful, and the dying. We pray for your church at this time, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, near and far. We pray for Hank Yu and his family in South Korea. We pray for Bishop Raj and his family in India. For Pastor Sam and the orphanage in India. We pray for our own church leaders here. For Bishop Graham. For Julian Pursehouse, the Methodist District Minister. For Beth Powney, the Baptist Regional Minister. For Paul Whittle, the URC Moderator. We pray not only for them, but also for our church responses to the pandemic, for both individual and joint kindness shown to those in need. And we pray finally for ourselves. You are the God who meets us in the risen Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, through this time, draw us closer to you, that we might know your resurrection power. In Jesus' name, Amen. And we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Before we share bread and wine together, we sing the song, There is one name under heaven, by which men can be saved, Jesus alone. So if you want to pause at this point and go back to the link and sing this song together, and then join back with us as we share bread and wine together. So we come to this table, not because we must, but because we may. We come not because we are strong, but because we are weak. We come not because we have perfect faith, but because we have questions and even doubts. But we come nonetheless because Jesus invites us to come, and we will never be turned away. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I receive from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So, Lord, now send your Holy Spirit to bless these gifts before us and to bless us. Eat this bread. It is the bread of life. Drink this cup. It is the cup of blessing. The body of Christ, broken for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. Let us pray. We say together, Gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. we sing our closing hymn together. Name of all majesty. So let us close in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we praise you for what you've given. We thank you for all that you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Now bless each one of us with the gift of your love. Love for you, love for the world, love for one another, and love for ourselves, that we may truly love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Lord, bless us at this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.